time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes, we back. Black History Year 2022. Yeah. You know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Salute to Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King. Or Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. I'm Junior. Shout out that, man. You know, salute. I just got done watching MLK/FBI right before we cracked the mic.
Really? How was that?
Good. It was good. It was good. It was, you know, J. Edgar Hoover was going for him, boy. He gunning for him. He was, you know. That motherfucker had a real vendetta against King, like seriously tapping the phones. The thing, you know, the thing about this documentary, what they do show though, you know, they tapped his phones. They got his man Clarence Jones's house. Mm-hmm. Clarence Jones, one of his speechwriters or one of his close, you know, colleagues. He came home one day. His wife was like, "Hey, how come you ain't tell me that the phone company was coming over to put in new lines?" He was like, I didn't talk to the phone company. He's like, "Well, they spoke to you. They put in some new lines. They cracked something over here in the closet, whatever, whatever." Mm-hmm. He said it took a couple hours. He was like, "You know what? I knew my phone was bugged." But same time, King came over a couple days later to hang out on one of his stops along the way. Now, I don't know if Clarence didn't tell him. I would imagine Clarence should have said, "Yo, I think my shit is bugged." Either way, that's when they started getting, you know, a little bit of audio with King, on the cheating tip, you know, out there talking to other women. And, you know, so that was really... that's what they were really like leaning on him with. Like they had some tapes of him talking to other women, like all the other shit. That wasn't even what they were looking for. They were just trying to get some more intel on his movement, you know, because they were branding King as the most dangerous man in America, you know, and disrespectful and dishonest and all of that. Like they were killing him. And back then polls were like, you know, when they did like a little Gallup poll between him and J. Edgar Hoover, it's like 50% were going for J. Edgar Hoover, 20% was going for King, maybe 12% actually. Mm-hmm. And then the rest were just like, "We don't follow the story." So just to put that into a bit of some context. But anyway, so then, you know, they got this they got these tapes with him talking to other women, and you know, they going in. They're bugging all of his hotel rooms, all types of shit. So, long story short, you know, I think they told King, you know, this was, they're going to drop it. Actually, they mailed the tapes to him, Coretta, and I forget who the third person was. But with a note talking about, "You should just kill yourself." Like, they were on it like that. Yeah, it was crazy. So, I guess long story can't be shown when you say it twice. But long story short again. So they talk about all of that, but then the other thing is the tapes are supposedly alleged to come out in 2027, you know? So it's just like, you know, there's the discussion of should they ever be brought to the light of day, you know, what does that do to his legacy, blah, blah, blah. You know, Clarence Jones still alive, and he was like, was he cheating? Yes, that was factual. You know, but well, does that mean that he was any less of a leader? You know, no, I don't think so. And a lot of other people were like, "I don't think these tapes should come out." Some people were like, you know, it's just going to make his legacy just a little bit more complicated, blah, blah, blah. You know, but it was worth checking out. It's still on Hulu. It's on Hulu. It's called MLK/FBI. I had been meaning to watch it for a while. And, you know, his birthday observation yesterday.
Now, was
set up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, was Clarence Jones...
Go ahead. I jumped right into that shit. I didn't even say, what up, dude? What's popping with
you? We're going to get to that.
But you know, yeah, what's good? But now, yeah, what's the question?
Did Clarence Jones, was he the one... It's a video drop yesterday, I guess on his birthday. You had a guy kind of talking. And it looked like this Clarence Jones guy said he was on the balcony with King. And, you know, he made like a Freudian slip that everybody kind of, you know what I'm saying, pinpointed as you always got to watch your friends. Because he was like, I was standing next to him on the balcony. He was waving to people and, you know, and I moved. And when I moved, you know what I'm saying, then he's like, you know, then they had a clear shot to take the shot. You know what I'm saying? So people are like, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's almost like he didn't mean to say it like that, but he said it like that. So. Right. You know what I'm saying? And he had the, and you saying he had the bug in the house? Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I haven't seen that clip, so I can't really.
Yeah, it's circulating right now. I saw it earlier today. I would say this, though.
Yeah.
I watched, there's a video on YouTube that was taped by NBC like 11 months before he got shot. And, you know, it's in his church, in the church, and it's, you know, white guy asking him questions about the movement. And, you know, at this point, he's, you know, some years removed, like 10 years removed from like the some of the marches and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't really know it was that much time between this stuff when he died. You know, I'm thinking all of it happened in the, you know, same little 1-2 years, and you know what I'm saying? Bam, he dead. But, in this interview, he's you know, the guy asked him about the movement. He was like, yeah, you know, that's the way we looked at it at that point. You know what I'm saying? That's the best way I thought it was, you know. And then he was saying, you know, why did you guys choose nonviolence? And, you know, the whole interview, he looking tight. You know what I'm saying? It ain't the soft look, you know, Dr. King from the I Have a Dream speech. Is he tight? You know what I'm saying? He like, well, listen, man. He like, look, you know, we chose nonviolence because that's my morals. But even if you think about it, like, if we chose violence, we outnumbered. We don't have the tools. We don't have, you know what I'm saying? Like, that would never work. You know what I mean? And then they started talking about more stuff, and he started talking about, you know, the future of the shit. And he, you know, started talking about the economic stuff, and that's the only way to really make it work is to get our economics right, bomb, bomb, bomb. And he tight. Now, he ain't saying this shit kind and friendly. He kind of, like, you know, clenched jaw saying this shit.
Yeah.
And then and he was like, you know, he quoted James Baldwin, like, you know, like my friend Jimmy Baldwin said, you know
Jimmy.
It's like, you know, did we integrate into a burning house, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh, this nigga talking, he talking Malcolm X kind of talk. What's going on? You know what I'm saying? And he went hard. He was like, you know, the youth out here, they're asking for, you know, a revolution of values out here. And, you know, he wasn't saying he was like, had a little sweat on his brow. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, ah, man, he changed. He wasn't the same dude that we be seeing over and over and over in this particular clip. And some of the other ones that I saw of his later speeches, you know what I'm saying? So he had, he was moving into a different kind of philosophy. He was like, you know, yeah, we did it that way. Like, you know, and that's what we were on. But, you know, basically he was like, I thought that y'all was a little better than what y'all really is. You know what I'm saying? You white folks, boy, ain't playing fair. So I think we got to move in a whole nother direction. So, like, you could look it up. Like, the speech is kind of like, the title of it is something like Martin Luther King 11 months before he was assassinated speech, you know, interview, something like that. Yeah. So I had never seen that side of him. You know what I'm saying? I've heard about the economic speeches at the end, but I've never watched them myself or watched him in video myself. Like, you know, the way he was, his demeanor and the way he talked about that shit. He was a little more passionate in the other way than he was in his I Have a Dream, you know, optimistic speeches.
Right. His patience was wearing thin.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was you know, he was a bad dude. Like, he was really damn near unflappable. Like, the questions that they would ask him just in, you know, like, in deep earnest would be so disrespectful. Like, they would just say, you know, this is back when everybody, we're still the Negro, you know, and they were talking about, they were like, one lady, she was just like one of the press secretaries. And, you know, it's so funny because it was the, what it was, it was just the, those were the times back then. Everybody, you know, even if they weren't overtly racist, they were benefiting from racism, you know? Like, it's like some things, not to say that they were being intentionally racist, even if they were trying to be, quote-unquote, non-biased, you know, the zeitgeist was very much racist. So questions like, just a sincere question would be like, you know, do you think the Negro is asking for too much? Too soon, you know, and upsetting the white people? Should, you know, will white people be resentful because the Negro is asking for too much too soon? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we talking about just equal rights and shit like that, but they like, hold on a minute. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, you getting me tight because you want equality, my nigga. We're going to get to that when we get to that. That's kind of what that felt like, but... You know, he handles these questions so smoothly, and he makes the point. Yeah, I hear that, but this is what this is, and no, this is not a problem, and blah blah blah. Like, he was a hell of a speaker. Mm-hmm. He would you know, he would be poised but effective. You know, like, he wasn't backpedaling. You know, one of the lines that I like that he said. He said, you know, he said, now, you know, the Negro is standing up a little taller, standing straighter, you know. And you can't ride a man's back unless his back is bent. You know what I mean? It was just some slick shit. So there was that. And then, honestly, I think, you know, and people feel there's this theory, and it probably is. I'm sure there's some truth to it. You know, like I said, you know, Hoover was tight. King was getting the Nobel Peace Prize at like 34 or something like that. So worldwide, people were loving him, like, over, you know, internationally and things like that. But Hoover was still tight, and he's like, yo, how are they celebrating this cat? You know, and then, you know, what seemed to have happened, or the theory is, you know, like, they were all of these movements for civil rights, justice, and justice for, you know, Black Americans. But what he noticed, too, is just to kind of galvanize, to make things a little stronger. That's when he started. He was like, he was going to do the Poor People's March, right? So he was like, you know, people that weren't making any money. So now this is not just Black people. These are people that are underpaid. We all going to descend on the Capitol. This is what we're going to do. And then that kind of really shook people down a little bit. And, you know, that was kind of ultimately, like, that was on the agenda right before he was killed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, salute to that man. You know, he made a great sacrifice. And it's worth checking out. MLK/FBI. It's on Hulu. It's a pretty good documentary. Mm-hmm. But how you doing, man? What's going on? How was your King Day? How was your weekend? All of that. What's good?
Man, I worked on King Day. You know what I'm saying? Fulfilling the economic part of his dream. See, they got us stuck on the, you know what I mean, on the, you know what I'm saying, the kumbaya part of the dream.
Hand holding.
You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get to the economic freedom part of it. You know what I'm saying?
Got you. Yeah. Trying to be absent to the Poor People's March.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So I ain't on nothing. Like, you know, everybody should work. You know what I mean? Take the holiday for sure. You know what I mean? Respect the whole thing. But I had shit to do. I'm on a deadline, baby. An impossible deadline. One of them ones where, you know, in real life, it shouldn't be able to be done type of shits. So I'm off in a whole nother dimension trying to bend time and bend space so that we could accommodate, you know, what I'm trying to get done. And, you know, so far it's working out, you know. It's funny how it works, you know what I mean? Sometimes you get caught up in, damn, what if it don't happen? Or, you know, you get caught up in, you know, people thinking it may not happen, or the pressure coming from outside sources about, you know, what's possible and what's not. And then, but then you had to take yourself away from it. You had to strip yourself away from it and really look at, you know, shit, this has been done before, you know. I've done it before. Not this same thing, but I've done this type of thing before, you know. So that gives me the faith to know that it can happen. So, you know, if somebody don't believe it can happen, it's okay. You know what I mean? Because you spend energy worrying about what they talking about, then you take the energy away from really zoning in and making shit work, you know. And sometimes, you know, the system that you may have built may fail you. You know what I mean? People may fail you, or people may not be on the same speed. And, you know, at the end of the day, all you can worry about is how can you bring the right energy to make that shit work. And that's what I'm in right now. I'm in that whole universe of, this shit got to work. It's only, you know what I'm saying? I was writing my notes and you know, about what I had to do. And before I started, you know, sometimes you just write shit. You don't know why you wrote it. You know what I'm saying? You never wrote these words before. You didn't even think these words. I sat down, I wrote the date, wrote the title of what I needed to do. And then, and then first words came out of my pen was, no other option. You know what I'm saying? And so I knew then that shit ain't no option. Ain't no option other than the desired result. And, you know, then went to it. You know?
There you go. Quincy, no plan B.
Right. Yeah. It's like, you know, Quincy Jones say this thing, like, sometimes you got to leave the door open to let God come in the room. You know what I'm saying? And right. That's what you do, you know what I mean? You take yourself out of the dimension of where you at and put yourself in a place where you can really get help where it can help, you know? And when you let God in the room, you know what I'm saying, strange things can happen, you know what I mean? That shouldn't be able to happen. And so that's where I'm at, man. You know, I don't know if I'm sounding crazy or not, but that's where I'm at. That's what I was doing on... for the night before the King Eve.
Okay.
Twas the night before MLK Day.
Right. Right. Nah, man. Shit. You gonna get it done.
Yeah. You got to. I mean, it's rolling now. The train is going downhill now. It's just that first part. It's like when you don't have nothing yet and you can't see it yet and nobody can see it yet. So you got to make it into something so you'll be able to see it, you know? Mm. And then once you see it, it's like, oh, hell, okay, we good. We real good. Oh, yeah. I ain't worried about that. We good.
Keep going.
Yes, sir. So that's what's going on, man. So I'm just trying to hit some deadlines, trying to zone in, trying to make some shit, you know what I'm saying, that the world could, you know, be... you know, informed, entertained, or, you know what I'm saying, just, you know, inspired by.
Mm-hmm.
I hope.
How you feel? I know the stress is on, so you're trying to get it done, but, you know, throughout the process, what are your feelings on what you think this, the impact of the final product is going to be?
Well, I think, you know, one, it's one of these things, like, when you're doing it, you start looking at it almost as somebody who watching it, just watching it, you know what I mean?
Right.
You start to realize that, you know, I haven't seen this conversation had, you know, within the media space. You know, it happens amongst us, happens when you're there or in it, but I haven't seen it, you know, on a platform had in this manner. So, one, I think it's going to be an important documentation of just how important this space is for people. You know what I'm saying? And what it means to a certain segment of the population. And, you know, I think somebody who hasn't ever heard about that space or is thinking about going into that space, I think it's going to inspire some people. I think some mm-hmm. people are going to have a rebuttal and be like, ah, this is bullshit. You know what I mean? But what I'm trying to make is a thing where you feel the spirit of what people saying. You feel you they're talking from a feeling and not from, you know, from a necessarily a fact base. You know what I'm saying? This is not a fact base. We're fact finding, making news here. This is just digging deep into a feeling that people experience when going into these spaces. So
the soul of it.
Yeah, the soul, like, you know what I mean, it's because when you're talking about HBCUs and homecoming, a lot of times people get lost in, you know, okay, it's some parties, you know what I mean, niggas get drunk and, you know, have fun. But nobody understand why this shit is important unless you've been there, unless you've experienced it, right? So I think with the when you're tapping into the way people talk and feel, and what I'm trying to illustrate is that there's nowhere in America outside of those spaces where this conversation even can be had or where it exists. You go to work and you talk to your coworkers and you work with people who never experienced it. They're like, okay, cool, sounds fine. All right, okay, you know. If you go back to the hood and you got people who don't really understand where you've been and what it's all about, you be like, okay, nigga, we going to the club? What's up? You know? So I think the feeling that you get is only experienced when you've been through it, you know? And I just hope people could feel that from what we put together, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And be interested in it just from an outside perspective. Like, if you never experienced it, to be interested in it. I know people who experienced it, they're going to know exactly what's going on. But right. I just hope we could present it in a way where that feeling can be transported from the screen into the viewer, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah, hopefully. So, hopefully the people that never, you know, experienced that shit will be drawn to want to experience it. You know?
Right.
Based right. off of what they see, yeah.
you know. So, yeah. so that's, you know, that's what, you know, that's what it looked like.
All right, that's what's up. That's what's up. Can't wait to see that shit. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, you spoke of you know, letting God in the room, mm-hmm. and this is God related. Mm-hmm. Did you see this video of Pastor Mike Todd? He's a younger pastor. He's got a pretty strong following. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's doing a sermon, and I forget what the scripture he's referencing, but it's something about, you know, I guess God spit in the eye of somebody, mm-hmm. you know, and make him blind so he can see. I don't, you know, let me not get too.
It was supposed to be to heal him. That's what it's when God.
Yeah,
spit.
To heal him, right.
You know,
exactly.
Spit in the mud, rubbed it on, you know what I'm saying? It was for right. healing. Right.
Okay. So, to kind of send it on home, this cat, hawk spit like twice in his hands, rubbed the spit around his hands, and then wiped this on this man's face. In an attempt to illustrate the word. Now, look, I believe in God. I'm a spiritual person. You know what I mean? I go to church every so often. You know what I mean? I prefer a more less dramatic way to articulate the word. But, you know, look, there's everybody got their license to take it how they want to take it to deliver, you know, said scripture. It was a little much, you know, mm-hmm. it was a little much. It spun around the internet fast. Everybody's breaking it down. One thing that I was What I kind of respected about it, you know, not respected about it, it was wild. Absolutely, it was wild. But one thing that I kind of respected was the pastor, because I, you know, I went on his Instagram and he spoke to it. You know, he was like, you know, I did too much. You know what I'm saying? I did too much. In short, I did too much. It was a little dramatic. And, you know, let's talk about when the spit hit the fan. You know, he had a little bit of levity with it or whatever. And he owned it. Like, you know, I was doing too much. I was trying to bring across this analogy or whatever, but you know, it was a little too far gone, and for that I apologize. And that was interesting, you know, like, because initially everybody was like, oh, this is some bullshit. What kind of church is this? Da-da-da-da. You know, churches already can be under the eye of scrutiny from various people, just in general, you know, because that deals with faith, and people's faith can, you know, it can vacillate. Some people have, you know, a deep well of faith, and they'll go as far, you know, and beyond just if they feel like that's what they're called to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's other people that are judging, like, I don't know if I'll do that. That's a little much. You sure about that? You know what I mean? You don't see the jig? You know, all of that. So I appreciate the fact that the cat was, you know, he was accountable for it, you know. And I mean, that was really more so than anything. That was really the takeaway from what I had. I mean, like, you know, it's like, you know, I hate to put it in the perspective of a performer, you know, because these are anointed individuals, you know, at least that's what a lot of them claim, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to, you know, be funny about it. But so, you know, I look at it. I've always looked at the performance element of pastors and preachers, you know, because they're, especially in black churches, you got to captivate this audience.
Mm-hmm.
So as a performer, sometimes you cross the line. Sometimes you go too far. Sometimes you got to walk it back. You know, sometimes you was doing too much. Sometimes you won't know where the line is until you cross it. And I mean, that second hawk spit, I mean, I felt even the crowd was like, ooh, you could hear it in the crowd. You know, as the you know what I mean? And then when he wiped it on the face, the people were like, oh no, you know, all of this. And, you know, it was pretty crazy. What were your thoughts about that is what I'm saying. That's really it. That's just
one. I wonder,
on the internet.
I wonder, you know what I'm saying, if he, you know, let the guy know if the guy was in on the act, you know what I mean? Like, this is what I'm going to do, you know what I mean? It's, you know,
right.
Brother, I know you're going through it. I got something for you. You know what I mean? Or, you know what I'm saying, I wonder what the setup was. Or did he, you know what I'm saying?
Was it a pre-pro meeting?
Right. Or did he just blindly molest his face with hawk spit?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's one. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Two, you know, you, it was of concern that, you know, is even the church trying to get in on the viral moments? You know what I'm saying? Is everybody trying to make their play to spin the internet for the week? You know, it's like, you know, is it like, you know, let's do something that's going to shake them up out here. That's going to spin the internet, you know? Shit, you know, I don't know, man. You know, a lot of this stuff is performative, like you said. You know, I'm, you know, of course, he sat down and thought about this and thought it out. This when I'm, you know, this how I'm a phrase this, or this the scripture I'm align it to. But you know, again, he didn't know how people was gonna take it. He just knew what he wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? And by the, you know, the reaction of issuing the apology, I think, if I'm going with my own skepticism, I think he already knew it would be shocking. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so he wasn't, it wasn't that odd that he came back and walked it back. But at this point, you know, all news is good news. You know what I'm saying? They done said my name. They talking about me on the podcast. Yeah, I'm in the conversation. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, obviously people watch him already, but like, nah, they know my name now, boy. You know what I mean? And I come back next week with a more standard traditional shit. You know what I mean? And I ride that for a few months until I need to, You know what I'm saying? Drum up a few more viewers. So maybe he accomplished everything he needed already by the time he made the apology. You know what I'm saying? It's always easy to apologize after you done made your move. So, yeah, you know, hopefully he got what he wanted. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully that man with the hawk spit face, you know what I'm saying, got what he wanted out of it, or at least got some blessings. And, you know.
Yeah, that was an uncomfortable thing to watch. Hawkspit is always going to make me cringe a little bit. And then my man, you know, every time he pulled back, he cocked it back, you know. Mm-hmm. You could see my man on the side, his assistant per se. You could see him like kind of shift a little bit, kind of look away as if, you know, it was going to come to somebody else. Like it was, you know, but it is what it is. That's what's going on out here. That's what's in the world.
That's what they're doing out here.
They doing, they getting, you know, everybody trying to go viral, everybody trying to build some attention. And another thing I saw on the internet today too, on some attention seeking, curious what you think about this. So I want to get my man's name right. This guy is running for the Senate seat in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
The dude's name is, what's his name? Is his name Gary Chambers?
Mm-hmm.
Gary Chambers.
Mm-hmm.
He is running for the U.S. Senate mm-hmm. in Louisiana. Now, the video, it's him in a large field. I'm not sure if it's a marijuana field, but he's got a backwoods stuffed, filled with you know, with tree. You know, like hopefully some Zaza. I'm not sure.
Somebody said, but, yeah, an eighth, a whole eighth.
Yeah, whole 3/5 in there. You know, back in the days, they would have called that a godfather. That's what they used to say when you break a cigar down and you pack it into where it looked like a regular cigar, but it's all weed. So he's sitting there. He got a backwood with at least an eighth in there. He's, you know, legs crossed, real relaxed, line up, you know, bushy fro, you know what I'm saying? Suit on, burning it down like the blunt at the top of the ad. Hey, you know, he's spitting some facts about how, you know, at least I think 37 people, I'm not 37%, I'm not sure. I don't want to.
37 seconds, someone is arrested for possession of marijuana.
Yes. Arrested. Four times mm-hmm. more likely, black people are four times more likely to be prosecuted for weed more often than not. They're not dealers. They're just people, you know, indulging in a little bit of pot. We called it pot, which was funny. Mm-hmm. And he's burning. He's burning it down. You know what I'm saying? Like he's
inhaling
he
and puffing
through this. Yeah, he tanned through. This is a crazy blunt too. So he tanned through. This must have been a few takes. So he tanned through. He damn near to a roach. And he's like, you know, similarly to me, you know, I'm Gary Chambers. I'm running for U.S. Senate. You know what I mean?
Right.
And this shit, as you would say, is spinning the internet. You know. It's out there. People are looking at it. People are like, you know, wow. It's a stunt on a certain level. Mm-hmm. You know, politics has a lot of smoke and mirrors. Not always backwards smoke, but smoke and mirrors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I sent it around to a couple people, you know, some of my smoker friends and shit, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying, to get their take on it, you know. One of my smoker friends was like, nah, I'm good. I'm not voting for that nigga. Which was hilarious to me because I'm like, damn, man.
They don't trust a smoker.
Right.
As a smoker.
I thought you'd be supportive. You know, you're like, nah, B, not for Senate. That's what my homie was like, not for Senate, chill. I was like, you know, honestly, there's probably a large majority of senators that smoke weed, if not do more shit. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But this cat just putting it on Front Street, you know, putting the, bringing this idea at least front and center so we could, you know, have the conversation. And obviously, again, it's like, it's trying to gain some attention. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, now you, this person's in the conversation. People are talking about her. People are looking at her. Oh, shit. You see the motherfucking video with the guy running for city? He burning the tree. You know, like, that is something. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what the rest of his platform is, but I say, and I again, I maybe I'm, well, I'm not maybe, I've been quite disillusioned with politics over the last couple years, especially with this whole COVID situation and just other things. So, and if I'm being truly, truly, truly transparent, I don't all the way know everything that Senate does.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. but my homie was like, would you vote for him? I said, I don't know. Maybe. I'd have to see the rest of his campaign, see what else he's talking about. I'm not going to vote for him because he's burning trees, but I'm not going to all the way disqualify him just because he's blowing a tree. You know what I mean? It was obviously, it was a tactic to get people's attention. And, you know, if he got more shit to say, then maybe. But that's just me. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand? What's your thoughts?
Man, I'm definitely not voting for him because he's smoking trees on the commercial. You know what I'm saying? One, I'm going to have to, you know, do some due diligence to see if this is even a prank. You know what I'm saying? If this is a, it's an online skit, first of all.
Mm.
Second of all.
That was you know, point. I didn't do that. wait. I know you said you're not voting for him because he spoke with you, but would you disqualify him?
No. I ain't going to disqualify him, but okay. You know what I'm saying? It does add another layer of due diligence. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay. Like, you know. Yeah, you got my attention. Yeah. I know your name now. You know what I'm saying? But now let me see what's good, you know? And also might offer a little prayer for you, shit, because, shit, I don't think marijuana is legal in Louisiana, but okay. You know what I'm saying?
And they go hard over there.
That's, you know what I'm saying? You might be the next, you know what I'm saying?
37 seconds.
You know what I'm saying? You might be the next one on the 38th second, you know?
Right.
But yeah, you know, it's a stunt. I know your name. You know, I'm going to look it up, see what it is. You know what I mean? But, you know, who knows? I don't know. I don't know your politics. I don't know nothing. You know what I'm saying? Shit, it's plenty. Shit, I bet George Bush liked to smoke a blunt. But, you know, I wasn't going to vote for him. So, I don't know. I had to check him out. I do know he was committed, though. You know what I'm saying? Because it looked like it has started to rain. He had raindrops all on him and shit. So, he was like, nah, we going to finish this motherfucker, man. We done about to pay this cameraman. Shit, that nigga, man, come on now. I know your camera, I know you don't want your camera to get wet, but shit, we got to finish this.
Right, let's get to it. I didn't even notice that. That's some funny. That's some camera, that's some real, like, some camera shit, because I didn't even peep any of the
look at it. It looked like it had been raining. He got little raindrops on the suit, you know what I'm saying, when they push in on the close-up. He got the little raindrops on his suit, like, you know, but he was committed to finishing.
Yeah.
Like, we ain't coming back out here. I ain't paying you another day. Come out here again, man.
Only thing about you know, smoking in your campaign ad is if you do get the job, which I don't think he gonna win, but who knows? I don't think he gonna get blown out. Who knows? I don't know his competition.
Yeah, he might not even be in the running.
It might not. It might be all a mixtape setup. You know, who knows? All
it
I
might
know.
Be like a Kanye West campaign. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm running for president. Yeah. Okay.
It could be. But I know if he was to get the nomination or actually get the seat, anytime he fuck up, they're going to blame it on the tree. They're going to be like, this nigga here. See, that's what the problem is. Your ass is too busy getting high, and you ain't passed this motherfucking bill. That's what the thing is. See, now, he kind of hampered himself a little bit. Even though, and this is the thing, this goes with the stigma, you know, they're still going through the stigma, the destigmatizing of marijuana, right? Because when it comes to politics and campaigns, and particularly like president, I guess in the Bush election, W. Bush election, I think this is where it kind of started. But, you know, there became that whole thing of, you know, I'd like to vote for a president that I could have a beer with, you know. Now, a beer could be a little mind-altering, too, but a beer don't have that stigma on it. You know what I'm saying? So you could have a drunk-ass president. I mean, one beer ain't going to get you spinny. But you could, you know, potentially have a... a president with the sips, but it'd be cool because, you know, it doesn't hold the same stigma as a motherfucker with the eighth in the backwood. But anyway, it was interesting. It spun the internet. It was something to talk about. It made it to the conversation. Shout out to Gary.
You know, Obama smoked the reefer. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Clinton too.
Nobody want to see allegedly. Obama smoking the reefer though.
Now I wouldn't mind.
Now I'm talking about on the run up, you know what I'm saying? As a local politician, as a senator, as a president, you know? Who knew what was in Clinton's cigars? He might have had the cigar roll with the, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know? But you know,
we know what his cigar was in, but that's a whole nother conversation.
That's another story. That's a whole nother thing.
What's up with you, man? What's going on?
I just told you what was up with me.
Well, what else is going on? Anything else on your mind, man?
I'm enjoying this finally jumping into the NBA season and shit, right?
Right.
Because I've been seeing a lot of talk about my little dog, Ja Morant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then now everybody trying they trying to see what I was trying to say last year, you know what I'm saying? How doggish he is out there. And it's starting to pay off for him, like he getting a little attention about it now. But it's funny because they on like a little win streak. They on a tear right now. And he's showing off, you know what I'm saying? He giving you what you came to see. But the weird part about it is like people who weren't talking about him at all last week or the week before or last month or whatever. And now like, is he getting too cocky? He's too big for his britches. You know what I'm saying? You need to humble him. Like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? If he wasn't doing shit, you weren't going to be talking about him at all. You know what I'm saying? And when he was doing shit, you weren't talking about him at all. Now they dogging niggas out on the court. And they winning and they tearing through the NBA and they beating some substantial teams. Now is he needs to be humbled, you know what I mean? I'm like, it's just bugged out how energetic fans are out here. But I'm just glad to see that, you know, people talking about him, you know what I'm saying? And then one of the things that was real interesting because, you know, boom, we play for Memphis. So somebody put up his rookie card and then on the rookie in the audience, in the crowd on his rookie card is Dolph. And Key Glock in the background and Country Black and Crunchy Back. I'm like, this nigga here is blessed. You know what I'm saying? Just to have all of the members of the culture on your rookie card. Right. Like, that's like dope.
An album cover.
Yeah, yeah, that's dope. That's dope. I'm like, shit, that's all my young homies right there in one space.
Right. So, did you cop it yet or nah?
I can't find out if that's the ones that I see. I don't think they the real, like, they the ones, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I've seen, like, some $19 ones and shit like that, but I don't think they the ones. I ain't never collect that type of shit, so I don't know how to find the one. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because you don't want to be stuck with the one, like, you know, with the
the bootleg.
Yeah, with the unofficial jersey. You don't want the unofficial jersey. Remember when throwbacks was out and your shit wasn't the authentic?
This shit is a swing man. You ain't got no stitching in your shit. Yeah.
You ain't do your research. Now you got a swing man and shit. It's like, man, damn. This is
flimsy in the wind. Yeah. Don't do that.
Niggas, you wonder why niggas ain't giving you no respect in the club and shit.
Like, damn. No jerseys, fam. Wait a minute. You sweet motherfuckers. Yeah, nah.
Nah, B. Niggas questioning your jury and shit now. Nah.
The one ply jersey. That shit is thin.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, man. Yeah. Shout out to Ja Morant. He been killing shit. He's definitely, you know, I ain't really been following a whole lot of games, but he is dominating the highlight circuit. There's always, it's at least weekly, if not 2 to 3 times a week, this kid got a highlight. I mean, if he ain't banging on somebody or jumping all the way in the air, just taking my man's shot out of midair. Like, this kid is going crazy. I am getting a little,
Nah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's part of me, and maybe it's because I saw somebody make this comment. They were like, this cat reminds me of 04, maybe 07, Derrick Rose. That got me a little nervous.
Yeah.
So somebody's like, yeah, he doing a lot of jumping. Nah. And you just like, I hope nothing crazy. He young. He's supposed right. to be young. He got a point to prove, and he seemed like he's just that type. He's that athletic. I just hope the kid don't get hurt.
Now, you know? Go ahead.
Well, go ahead. Finish. Go ahead.
Put the and.
I'm going to go somewhere else. So.
Oh. The thing about that comment right there, the Derrick Rose comment, is two different kinds of physics going on. You know what I'm saying? Derrick Rose was super athletic, but he was super fast. And the moves that he made, they were super, I'm going to run real fast, and then I'm going to stop on a dime and go the other fucking way. You know what I'm right. saying? That's what killed Derrick Rose more than his jumping. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he could jump, but it was that speed physics versus that, you know, stop. You know what I'm saying? On mm-hmm. a dime shit. You know what I'm saying? That really messed Derrick Rose up a little bit. Like, the way this cat move, he move in a different kind of way. You know what I'm saying? You can see his steps are measured. You know what I'm saying? He'll go fast, but he not doing those little jab steps and all that. He doing, like, a different kind of motion with his shit. And, it's always interesting, especially, like growing up in the hood, it's always like that super athletic kid that got a different kind of motion than everybody else. You're like, damn, that nigga run crazy. You know what I'm saying? Super fast, but just the way they move, like Lamar Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Like, the nigga got a different kind of vision than a regular person. They not regular like that. So, Ja, the biggest thing against him, I wouldn't put him in a Derrick Rose category. I just think the nigga is so, like, fearless as far as running up on these niggas that he might catch a bad one. You know what I mean? Coming in, like, not from his own regard, but, like, from somebody just hitting him the wrong way while he up there levitating and shit. So right. if somebody asked him, you know, who in the NBA would you want to dunk on that you haven't dunked on yet? And he said, I want to dunk on LeBron. You know what I'm saying? I run right home, put that on a poster. You know what I'm saying? Blow it all the way up. And so the other night they played the Lakers. And he looked like he was about to have that opportunity. LeBron was like, oh, nah, nigga. And LeBron did it clean. He did it. Nah, uh-huh. LeBron fouled that nigga.
But he did it clean
because he went straight. Like if you look, like, the side way, you know what I'm saying? He put his left hand straight up. But then he took his little bow up under him once he got close on him and hit him with it. You know what I'm saying? Hit him with a little, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can see Draymond Man fly moments. Back.
Right.
Not chill, tonight, man. Young Blood. I heard that shit you said, nigga. Nah. You're going to have to get that
out.
You
ain't doing no posters.
You're going to have to do your job, and I ain't finna let you do it. Not to me, not tonight. <away. laughs> You're going to have to catch me slipping.
Shit crazy. What I like also, last point I was about that was cool about Ja Morant is he's so intense with his shit. So I forget what happened. I don't know if he just caught a dunk or something. Mm-hmm. Either way, or maybe they were playing Golden State, I think, and somebody on Golden State might have got a shot off or something. Mm-hmm. He might have just banged it. He goes out towards the crowd. And then there's these little kids, like little white kids, like 10 years old or whatever, and they trying to get a pound or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the kid got on the Golden State Warriors jersey.
Right.
And he look at that motherfucker like, fuck out of here. And then in the post-game presser, he was like, yeah, I felt like he was disrespectful. So, I ain't giving him no props. Fuck that. He had on a Golden State jersey. You in Memphis. You supposed to have on a Memphis jersey if you want a five from me. He was like, you know what? He said, you know what I'll do? If he take his jersey off, I'll give him a jersey. And at that point, I'll give him a five. And I was like, okay, this motherfucker is all the way in. He ain't fucking around. He ain't pandering. He is locked in.
Yeah, he's locked. He in his space. He in his moment. And and as much as, like, some people don't want to see it, it's what we came to see. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, nah, like, if he giving up, like, they take the picture of him, give him the Warriors fan, you know what I'm saying, the high five, that's going to be out there forever. You know what I mean? He like, shit, I'm repping. He repping. You know what I'm saying? He ain't, in the like trying to trade, get traded to a bigger market and making the scene. He out there showing out right where he at, repping for the hometown team, man. You can't, how you gonna be mad at that? That's everything y'all said y'all wanted, you know? That's everything y'all went against LeBron for, you know what I mean? So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, man. Shout out to him. I like the other kid, Anthony Edwards, too. Mm-hmm. I think he hurt right now, but he be getting busy, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of cats catching dunks, did you see Westbrook bang on Rudy Gobert?
Nah.
That shit was crazy. And you could tell because Westbrook been really having it. He's been having a hard go of this shit for a while. They're calling him the West Brick. They really disrespecting him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, he's not doing well on the Lakers. And he banged on Rudy Gobert so stupid. And he got, he was so hyped that he caught a tech because he was taunting. He went crazy. But yeah, it was one of them.
That ain't hard for him to go crazy. And it ain't that so much that he having a bad season. He just making a lot of mistakes. Like, you know, shit he always been doing. You know what I'm saying? Turning over his little mental mistakes. Too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's he been doing that, you know what I mean? His whole career, but I guess he making more mistakes now. But, you know, he a little step slower. But I'm watching that shit now. He dunked the shit out of his ass.
It was crazy. It was bananas. They call him one of the dunks of the year. Now, that shit was stupid. You could tell, like, all of that pent-up frustration, Rudy had to catch that. It's terrible.
Yeah, Rudy was a step late. He was already airborne by the time Rudy got ready to go.
Yeah, man. But anyway.
And that's crazy because Gobert is 7-footer. Westbrook about 6'3", 6'4".
I just remember Gobert being the motherfucker, the last straw of the COVID shit.
Yeah, he was the COVID baby. He was the poster child.
Wiping all of the mics and shit. Stepping out, this nigga's Agent Zero. Hell yeah, man. Fucking Rudy Gobert. Oh, man.
He gave everybody COVID. Fucking ran.
Hell yeah, trying he deserved to that. Yeah, man. Stay on that poster.
Man, the crazy thing about this poster, I'm looking at it right now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. No disrespect to the Kang, but my man, the Kang in this poster at the, you know, he a bystander, but his ball spot is taking center stage, man.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Take it on out.
See what happens
with that.
Yeah.
He did it at one point. I felt like there was one video a couple years ago after he won the chip. He had the full baldy, and then I guess he let it grow back in. Maybe he feel it. He embraced it.
I guess he like it is what it is, man. Shit.
It is. It's him and KD. Yeah, they both on that. Like,
shit ain't hindering.
Old school.
And it might be, you know what I'm saying, superstitious. Like, if I cut my hair, then I'm all the way be a rap. Let me keep it going until I'm out the league or something.
Right.
And I start wearing hats on y'all niggas.
Hilarious. You probably, you know, it's funny. Speaking of that, well, not that, but just speaking of, because I'm sure cats be coming for him, but I know cats be coming for Durant. They say Durant shit talk is like next level, like some of the illest. They were saying some of the shit that he be saying on the court. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds so disrespectful, but it's funny though. He said, you know, he might score and they go, like, put somebody in the mixer and then, or somebody that he just don't think could guard him. Mm-hmm. He said he's been known, he'll take a cat by their shoulders, spin him around just so he could read his jersey. Like, yo, who is this nigga? I think that shit is so disrespectful. That's hilarious though. In the middle of a game, nigga take you by your shoulders, turn you around. I'm like, yo, who is this? That shit is fucking hilarious, man. Shout out to KD and the disrespect. Mm-hmm. Speaking of disrespecting your man, John Morant, you saw that where he put the ball in the cat's face and then his man came and
carried him off.
Terrible. Carried him off like a young toddler. It was horrible. Anyway.
And the dude recognized how ridiculous it was. He was laughing all the way out. But, you know what I'm saying? Even that, like the John Morant haters will be like, he's instigated the fight. But the man wouldn't let him go. He had him hemmed up, like, you know what I'm saying? So he couldn't pull away. That's why he mushed him with the ball.
Uh-huh.
So, you know. Yeah, but everybody, they see what they want to see.
Yeah. Oh, shit, dude. Anyway. Speaking of seeing what they want to see, man, did you see this? Did you watch Power? I know you ain't really all the way caught up to Euphoria yet.
I actually watched first episode of Euphoria.
Okay, so you jumped right into season one or season two?
No, I ain't go all the way back to season one. I just started with what everybody talking about seasons. So I could be in the conversation like that. I ain't have enough time to
but
be.
But did you see? Yeah. Well, that's what she was talking yesterday. That's why I was like, I don't know if that's going to happen. I was like, yeah, I'll catch up. I said, all right.
I said, I'm going to catch up.
But you ain't see episode two, though.
Not yet. Nah. I finished episode one right before we cracked the mic.
Okay. All right. So I mean, you can talk about it if you want to talk about
yeah,
it.
Like I said, I've walked in on some episodes. You know what I'm saying? I've passed by. I've sat down and maybe watched 20 minutes of like season one. You know what I'm saying? So I seen when the Mexican drug dealer had the shit that was laced with fentanyl or something. You know what I mean? Seen that. I seen a couple of little things with the white boy who think he bad, but he pretty boy. You know what I'm saying? Think it's Nate or whatever. So I seen, Nate. some scenes to kind of understand who's who. You know what I'm saying? Seen Rue go through her struggles or whatever. That type of thing. But I haven't dug in. But the way everybody was talking about season two, especially that first episode, I was like, let me see that. You know what I'm saying? And that shit was dope, how they cracked that bitch off. That shit was like a movie. Like it was like a,
Scorsese.
Go ahead.
I said a Scorsese movie?
It was like a Scorsese movie, dog. That shit was dope. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The way they, the music, just the way they portrayed the grandma. And I've known ladies like that. You know what I'm saying? I got ladies like that in my family. But I've never seen it portrayed in that way on screen. You know what I'm saying? So it was wild to see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, fuck it, nigga. This is what we doing. This is where we at with it. And the music cues was, fit, It was like the way that, like you said, like when they played that Tupac, it was like they shot that shit like we coming out hard. You know what I'm saying? We going to mixtape this bitch. Like, this, you know what I mean? Yeah. This is Tupac ain't got nothing to do with nothing, but this how we going. You know what I'm saying?
And
for, like you said, somebody was saying that they were saying that the young people, they weren't playing young music. You know what I'm saying? Man, I don't think that mattered, because they did when you got to that house party when it was in context. But when it was just like needle drops, I think they did what they had to do to set the texture. You know what I'm saying? For what they were showing. So a lot of times, being a retired music supervisor, a lot of times the music to the scene is more about setting texture as it is historical context. It's more about that than anything. Like, that's one of the first things I had to learn. Like, shout out to Paloma Curry, rest in peace, who was she was a music supervisor on Love Jones, but she was like head of music at Sony when we was doing the movies, right? So just having conversations with her about your music choices, and it's like, you don't have to be spot on every time. Like, the words to the song don't have to match the visuals, because that actually distracts the viewer. You know what I'm saying? So if your shit too spot on, it's kind of distracting, because you might get more into the music than you are into the script. So when you watching what they did there, they just set a texture that fell back, made you want to read read into the script more and watch the characters more, because you're not so invested in the song that's playing.
So yeah, they killed that shit.
Yeah, they killed that
they
shit.
They killed that shit. That shit was like a gunshot, the way that shit opened it up. Mm-hmm. Just that. It was real deal exclamation point type shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Nah, but I fuck with that little Ash. Like, little Ash is little Joe Pesci in that bitch.
Yeah. Young Ashtray. He got a little movement in this second episode too. Nothing crazy, but he was on point. He's ready. He's ready to go. He's like a little amateur boxer.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Is it?
He trying to,
in real life?
He trying to become a, yeah. He's saying soon to be champion, I think is one of his bio say. Something like that. Yeah, he's trying to become a boxing champion.
Yeah, if he continue acting with, you know what I'm saying, with that physical discipline, he can make some good violent scenes.
Yeah.
As we see.
Yeah.
Cause ain't nothing like when you watch an actor act a violent scene, but they don't have a violent disposition. You know what I'm saying? It don't throw you off, cause you know, sometimes they get it off. You know what I'm saying? So like say in the case of like a Joe Pesci, you know, it worked because they were older Italian. You don't know the culture. You know what I'm saying? Just old guys in suits that, you know, damn, nigga violent. But like when you see a guy that has a violent disposition, you know what I'm saying? You could see that shit. He ain't got to do a whole lot of movement. You know that you might want to leave that motherfucker alone. We talked about this before.
right.
But yeah, you know. So he, no wonder he was able to pull them scenes off like that as a kid, because he already know the disposition.
Now he was dope. And I ain't mentioned it last week, but you know, now that you saw it, the Meech cameo was cool too. Yeah. I was like, okay, this motherfucker, it's like having two hit singles.
Right.
Like, all right, Meech.
Meech out here, you know what I'm saying?
Right. In the mix.
And he playing the same character, but in a different
with
era.
The BMF tattoo.
You know what I'm saying? You know, it'll be a kook. And hey, why not? Run that shit, you know what I'm saying? Run that shit. You know? Get your career off, man. I thought he was cool. I thought he, you know what I'm saying? I think he fits in the environment, you know what I mean? The black kid in this white environment, he could be, you know what I mean? Just be himself, really. And actually, that's his real life. That's how he grew up.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it was cool. It came off real cool. I'm not sure. We'll see if he shows up any more episodes or whatever, but that shit was a dope look. Yeah, that was a good look. Nice little piece of momentum to keep it going.
Mm-hmm. If he get to keep it going, he can, his check's gonna be real good.
Yeah. Nah, he about to be lit. What's up? Let's talk about this power situation.
Yeah,
felt like it was a little uneventful. It was
more tactical than anything. You know what I'm saying? Let's set up these next plays. You know what I'm saying? But you know, you don't have enough of those types of characters that's super interesting. We not vested in Lorenzo just yet. We definitely not vested in Zeke Daddy. You know what I'm saying?
Dante?
Yeah, Mecca, but whatever they call him. So we not invested. Who we invested in this show? Tyreek?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like we don't have Kane might be, you know, after him. But it's not like on Power, the regular Power, you got Ghost and Tommy. So you vested in them. Like, that's they boys. You know, like, damn, you don't want to see them break up. You don't want to see them fight. But when they go through it, you know how dangerous Tommy is. You know how dangerous Ghost is. So it brings that tension, because you invested in them too as good friends. It's like these people are all kind of thrown together. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no real good friends here. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody go all the way back except for Monet and Dante, but we ain't know that. He new on the scene. We don't know where the fuck he been for the last 20-something years. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's hard to pull off these tactical episodes when you don't have the investments in the characters just yet.
What you think of the episode overall?
Well, I think it's cool. I thought it was cool. You know what I'm saying? I like the way that Tate played his hand. You know what I'm saying? To try to, you know, honor Tariq's request. You know what I'm saying? We'll see how that plays out. But, you know, Tate is always slippery and slimy. I don't see how that one picture have a man step all the way down, though. But we'll see, you know. you know, when Kane was in Davis's Bentley, that was a weird conversation. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if they trying to paint Kane as just dumb as fuck, but that was a dumbass conversation.
That shit was silly too. At the very end, when he's like, "Yo, tell your moms I said hello, Kane, nigga." Of course, he outlined the fact that he's Kane in the conversation.
Right.
Yo, like, my name better not come up. Right. Okay, whoever you are, your name won't come up. Right. Yeah, that was weird. That was weird. That was cool to see the little Bentley truck. I mean, he had to be driving something with all these fucking duffel bags full of cash he been getting.
Right.
But
you know, anytime you see somebody getting in the car in the parking lot, you already know something's gonna pop off. You expect that shit to blow up, or you know what I'm saying? Nigga to run up on the window or some shit. So, you know. What else? It was something, I can't remember what Monet said, but it was like way too legalese for the conversation. It was like when Kane came, it was like the plug gave all the work to Poppy, you know what I'm saying? And he was like, "Our little side hustle is blowed up." And then she said something back to him. I'm like, man, they could have used some other words than that. That's a very formal word they use right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, Monet, I didn't take Monet for the, you know what I mean, the super, you know, thesaurus-ass speaker, you know?
Paralegal.
Right. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, ah. But what else was funny about this shit? I guess Dante is saying, "All right, Monet, you don't want to play ball with me? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to cut you out the game and make, you know what I'm saying? And then I don't know what his plans is for Lorenzo. Maybe this is way of retiring her and Xing Lorenzo out. And, you know what I'm saying? Then he could get his lady and his son back."
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see about that one. I thought that little scene where he pull up on Zeke was super corny.
Oh, dumbass.
One shoe bigger than the other, huh?
Too.
That shit didn't have your picture on the motherfucker. Zeke be so, man, so doof. Such a doof. And then it's just... There's a couple things that I just want to see. First of all, Drew about to put in work, and then my man sends the WYD text. That shit was corny. That shit was hilarious.
You say what now? Drew was about to put in work.
Drew was about to kill homie. Uh-huh. He had his little, he put on his mask and shit. He had his gun out. He's following the kid, and then the kid... And types, "What are you doing? I miss you." And he was like, "Oh, I made him put the gun away. I miss you too. I'm coming to see you." I was like, "Ah, this is some bullshit."
Oh, he misses me.
That shit. Somebody got to die. I just felt like somebody got to die. Somebody got to die. I think Monet and Diane need to have a quick scrap. One, at least a good, a little 2 minutes of fisticuffs, because you could see that shit just boiling. Like, Monet yoked her up a little bit, but Diane is acting like it can't happen. You know what I'm saying? So you're feeling that bit of tension. Cardi Dodd kind of fumbled at the podium, you know.
She dropped the ball.
She dropped the ball. She heard, she felt the people was talking, so that kind of... had her looking crazy. They were setting her up kind of whack too. What's her name? I forget the girl's name.
But you know, she felt like she set her up. Like, you know, she wasn't going to give her the good graces. You know what I'm saying? But that, you know, Cardi Dodd was supposed to be above the fray. You know what I mean? But I guess.
I'm not even mad at. No, I'm not talking about Lauren. I'm talking about light skinned Keisha. I forget her name on the show. But that's her name, and that's what, like, her handle in real life or whatever. But she kind of was throwing a few shots at her. And I'm like, why you throwing shots at her? You know what I mean? Like, is it that far out there that she was with
it is.
Jabbar?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's out there. It's out there.
Yeah.
It's out there.
That was a little crazy.
Because that's why they didn't want her to do it. Like, even, you know what I'm saying, the dean knew about it. Like, it's out there.
It was hot.
Yeah, the block is hot.
Now you might want to chill. And Tate was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" Tate, slimy as always. I mean, we'll see what happens. I don't know if that you know, to your point, maybe that blackface shit ain't gonna be enough.
It don't seem like it.
None of this shit really seem like it's enough, but it be enough just to get through the episode. But I did like that little slick exchange. He was like, "I don't take kindly to blackmail." He was like, "Well, how about blackface?" And walked off on some George Jefferson shit. I was like, all right, I've got to say this. from going with 0 minutes on the court to now about at least 5 to 7 minutes. Yaz getting her little her lines in.
You ain't getting her residuals.
Yaz held the scene. Yeah, Yaz held the scene. Yeah, Yaz gonna get some residuals over that episode. She held the scene.
She paid her dues.
Yeah. If you know what I mean, she been there in the wings for a long ass time. So that was kind of cool. Her little back and forth. No. We can't put her on the stand.
I think. I don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying? Again, I'm trying to formulate where they're going with Cardi Dodd, you know what I'm saying, and why she fumbled the ball like that with the people talking. But then I realized that she had the thing with the sexual addiction, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Where she was in therapy and all that shit for that. So maybe something kicked in on the, you know what I'm saying, on the mental, psychological level that, you know, shook her up from being up there and watching everybody with a business in their mouth.
Maybe. We'll see.
People done read the book. Like, that's tough. Why you get up there knowing people done read the book?
You just got to own it. Say, fuck it. Then, you know what I'm saying?
Then own it.
You know what I mean? That's what it should have just owned it. A lot of people, they need something needs to happen with. Somebody got to die or somebody got to step up. Drew's storyline is getting kind of corny because I don't really see... I don't see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even see him really wanting to be in power like that. Kane's so thirsty, but he's so erratic that, you know, you can't really trust him. So I understand that. The Diane thing, again, I just, her and Monet need to scrap one time. Lorenzo, him out of jail is kind of... the whole shit started. This episode wasn't one of them. This wasn't one of them.
When Lorenzo showed up with the LV on, it was like,
with the chain and shit.
Doing too much with that little tight LV on, short all high above his waistline and shit.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that shit was kind of weird. I'm trying to think what else. The woman that was at the meetup, I don't know where she came from out of nowhere, but she right on in the mix. She done kind of took the sushi chef's position.
Who?
The sushi man was the
the girl shooter.
Yeah, out of the blue, she coming through. You know what I mean? And then that was another thing that was a little silly. When they coming through. You know, they do the smoke bomb or whatever, smoke grenade, and they coming through. First shooter coming through with the silencer. Bing, 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 bing. Mm-hmm. Quiet, right? Mm-hmm. Next motherfucker come through with the sword off. Boom.
Right.
Boom. Like, what was the reason to go silent? What are we doing here? But, you know, it is what it is. It's always fun, but, you know.
Yeah. No doubt. You know what I'm saying? The tripped out shit about that whole little, that drop the smoke bomb and all that shit in there. It's like, okay, y'all go in there, drop the smoke bomb. But then you got beams on your gun. So if niggas wanted to aim, they just aim at your light. You got a light. You know what I'm saying? You got a real target right there.
Right.
It's like, if you're going to drop the smoke, you might as well go in, you know what I mean? Blasting. Mm-hmm. Without the beam, you ain't supposed to be able to see no way.
Yeah.
So that was a little weird.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That whole, I'm like, what did they do that for? Like, who, like, you know what I mean?
what was the purpose of that?
Was it the budget? Was it a target? Because, you know what I'm saying, we don't know who got killed or, you know what I mean? Was it to send a message? Like, this Lorenzo organization is very, it's not being very communicative.
Mm-mm. It's very random.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. These niggas just doing shit. Like, nigga, at least when Ghost did some shit, we knew why he did it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was set up.
Right.
You know, Power was real good for setting shit up for a whole season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. This shit, they running audibles. There's a lot of no huddle offense.
Let's just put some guns in here. We need some shooting this week. Okay.
But that's how he came in the game. Remember, that's how, not Lorenzo, pardon me, that's Dante. I was about to say Dante.
Dante came with the shooting.
Yeah.
But, man, we're going to see.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think, did we forget anything else?
I had this tattoo for 16 years. Yeah, nigga, how I'm supposed to know that?
Right, right. That shit was weird. That's it. We'll see what happens next week. We'll see what happens next week, man. Anyway.
No doubt.
I think it's time to transform the rollout, brother.
Yeah, you didn't say it all you need to say.
It is. Well, shit. Until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Yep.